Coronavirus Rhapsody, obviously a rip-off of Bohemian Rhapsody, and it was all one person. And I think at one point there was about 12-part harmony there by Raoul Irabian. Adam De Silva is best known as executive chef and co-owner of Coda and Tonka restaurants in the heart of Melbourne. And he's known as a food judge too. He talks to Rita Ehrlich about judging a home cooks in lockdown competition for the food retailer Toscano's, and about breakfast, and about pivoting in lockdown.
Toscano is a huge greengrocer in Melbourne, and they ran a cooking competition asking people to post in photographs of dishes they were making. Lots and lots of people are cooking much more during lockdown, and it was an interesting way of seeing exactly what people were cooking. Adam, you were the judge. What did you see about what people were cooking?
Well, it was an amazing amount of entries and of a variety of cooking skills, cuisines. There was also a junior section, so that was below 15, and that was astonishing because some of the quality there was, that was a really hard one to choose. You know, I would have probably, there was quite a few that I would want to have made winners, because I've got the girl, Audrey, I'm pretty sure that I made win was, I chose to win. She's a 10-year-old and it reminded me of what my 10-year-old could do, and that was making pasta filled with prawn, and there was, I think, a salsa verde sauce with it from memory, and that was high. But all the other entrants were fantastic. And I guess my real kind of where, even though there wasn't any specific criteria, I think it was just cook what you love to eat, and obviously using produce from Toscano's. So I kind of focused on people that used a lot of vegetables, because obviously Toscano's is one of the biggest retailers out there, and one of the best with producing, selling amazing produce. So I looked at also, there was a couple of things that, there was a couple of dishes that, tore on my heartstrings, being Italian heritage, but just using the right and beautiful amount of vegetables and all the different flavor combinations and bringing that all together. And they ended up being two types of, tortas, you could say, in Italian. So second was a torta pasqualina, which was just silver beet and beautifully handmade pastry. And then the winner was another type of tart with using like a Jerusalem artichokes and caramelized onions. It was just they're the two that I really wanted to eat. And making, I guess what I would say again, making the vegetable the hero, because they're obviously all customers of Toscano's. And, there was some great awards to be done. But you know what it was? It also just showed people being diverse and, utilising what's in season and cooking something fresh and healthy, because, I guess we're not all used to eating three meals a day at home.
That's certainly true. The three words you don't want to hear during lockdown are, what's for lunch?
Correct. And what's for dinner? What's for prayer?
It's interesting that the focus was so much on vegetables. I've just found out that the focus for Nutrition Week, for Nutrition Australia, is try for five. That is, try for five vegetables, which has proved to be very, very difficult for most Australians. Most Australians think, apparently, that one or two vegetables is about as many as we can get during a day. So it was interesting to see the focus so much on vegetables and how creative people were.
Yeah, correct. Well, actually, saying it's about five vegetables a day, I'm actually just finished off for breakfast a bowl of minestrone. So it's right in front of me. So that was just quick. I was quickly eating it when we were setting up this interview. So, and I think I've done about, ten vegetables today. So I think I can give myself a gold star for today.
what do you normally eat for breakfast? Whatever's around.
I am very savoury. So is my eldest daughter. So sometimes I go through a phase where I eat some type of vegetable soup, whether it be a silver beet soup with little chicken meatballs in it, whether it be minestrone, whether it be pumpkin soup. One that most of the family would eat all together would be a chicken, like a brodo, which has got chicken pieces in it and some carrot and some noodles. So I get some, dried Chinese noodles.
Yep.
And then we have that for breakfast, like a pho, but just with chicken. And we do dumplings also, prawn dumplings, ginger prawn dumplings. We do gyoza. We might even do, always do egg and bacon on, sandwiches between, bread, toast between bread, jaffles for breakfast, sometimes fruit salad or... Sometimes even, we're very savoury, so even some pastizzi, filled with spinach and ricotta, so it can vary so much in our household.
Now, presumably a lot of this is left over from the night before.
No, I've got a very fussy 10-year-old daughter who doesn't eat reheated food,
so she
takes in my footsteps where I wouldn't eat any reheated pasta or any reheated food, so I only can blame myself for doing that. And then I've got a son who's very pedantic and can't have food touch on his plate. So sometimes he ends up with about 3 plates in front of him because he doesn't like his meat touching his corn. And, he's a very basic eater. He's all, been a young boy, so doesn't really delve. But then I've got my 4-year-old who eats everything. She's like... she will eat all the salads and, she drinks the vinegar out of the salad bowl like I did at her age. So I think some of my DNA is strong through my children with their eating habits.
I reckon that happens quite a lot. It certainly happened with my kids. And then they grew up to be omnivores as I did. They'll eat pretty well everything. Getting back to Toscana, how many entries were there? Do you know?
There was about 20 finalists that I had to cull through.
Yeah.
And it was actually still a very difficult decision to make out of those finalists. So I would love to reward them all because they all made an effort. They all and they were pretty much cooking all food that I hadn't that I would cook. And I would love to have tasted. So unfortunately, I had to taste it through a computer screen. So look, it was a, and I wish I could have entered myself. So it was very difficult. So I had to it was actually a really hard decision to make because everyone did such a great job. And there was no dish that I looked at and thought I wouldn't eat that. Every dish I would have eaten if it was cooked for me. So,
gee, that's good. Now, the thing I also notice in Toscana's is food packaged by Coda. So like so many restaurants around Melbourne, you're doing packaged food that's sold either for delivery or on site in supermarkets and greengrocers. How have you found that? Was that a difficult thing to work out?
No, Pat Toscana was the first one to reach out and help us back in March, a couple of days after lockdown. Within that time, within that week, we had all our Coda and Tonka curries and tandoori items in the store. And helped us a lot, and it still has been a massive part of our bottom line to stay open as two businesses in the city, which is keeping our lights on, because how tough it is in the city right now with any restaurant because of the 5K radius, but also not only because we're running it so tough in the city at the moment because of the 5K radius is because of the corporates. So there's no corporates and also there's no dining allowed, which is now probably won't happen till December. But that's another conversation, which I don't want to start going on. Another tangent. I think I'm sick to death of talking about dining and all that. But it is they were a fantastic support and still are a massive supporter. And they are our biggest distributor of all our range of food. And the great thing about our food is that it's packaged, ready to eat, can be frozen, can be eaten like a week later. It's there and it's tasty because it takes My Chef's 2 days to make. There's a lot of preparation in it. So we have a unique product that is different to everyone else out there. And it is a taste of Kota and Tonka. And it's a pretty much, yeah, so it's a delicious little package. So can't go wrong. And now we're up to about 25 retail stores. So that is our kind of backbone of our business, which is a new line of business. And once, you know, hopefully if restaurants get back to normal, we'll still be doing our retail store. And it did actually take something like the pandemic, the COVID, for us to actually kind of think a bit laterally and package our food and thinking that also people would want to buy it.
It's an interesting thing about the pandemic and lockdown, the number of restaurants who've started, so to speak, second businesses.
We did in the first shutdown straight away. Within 2 days, we're up and running with labels and packaging, where a lot of restaurants thought that they were going to come back. So it was interesting that I reckon about 70% of restaurants doing it now only started doing it in the second lockdown, because they thought, you know, well, we're just going to have a, you know, we'll just have a break and we'll just shut the restaurants, you know, and have a bit of a holiday, and we're going to come back to normal in July.
Yeah.
And then we get shut down straight away. So that's when they all pivoted again. It's a totally different ballgame. Like, our restaurants are physically not set up for production. So they're set up to be restaurant kitchens. So Changing it to like having, you know, three to four vacuum sealing machines or cryovac machines is what actually packages food, to just packaging, labeling, producing. It's a full-on different beast and headspace, because it also makes you realize how little money there is in just food in restaurants. So as I say to people, it's hard enough to make money. It was hard enough to make money in restaurants pre-COVID because of wages and foods and rents. And now, you know, post-COVID, who knows? And, you know, if it wasn't for JobKeeper, we'd all be, you know, shut. The doors would be shut.
Yeah, I think that's right. The other thing that I'm curious about, and nobody knows yet, is what the new normal is going to look like. Because I don't think it's going to look like the old normal. And the old normal, in any case, was for many restaurants a very, very fine line between staying open and going broke.
I mean, correct.
And that was the other thing. That's the other thing the restaurant industry has to face, the difficulty of remaining viable.
Well, I just think we also just need, like, you know, we just need the newspaper to say it's safe to go out and dine again, and everyone will just go out normally like they did 7 months ago. And, you know, when we first opened back up in July, there was no cases related to restaurants, because everyone's diligent. Everyone's going with people they know. You know, and you're not going to go to the restaurant if you've got a fever, if you've got the symptoms of any COVID-19. So, and I just think we need to go back to normal to make it even viable.
Yeah.
You know, we just need full capacity, where we're doing two sittings at a time, you know, and we just put everything in place that allows that. Otherwise, we're just, you know, there is just no future. There's no future. Or if JobKeeper keeps on going, then we can. You know, JobKeeper will have to be extended beyond March, because we're not even going to be able to have indoor dining until maybe December. The way things are turning or happening at the moment. January, February, and then you're done. You know, so yeah.
Well, we'll wait and see. In the meantime, I think it's all back to seeing what we can do, how well we can cook with lots of vegetables, staying healthy, and staying positive. Adam, thank you so much for talking to us on Travel Writers Radio.
No worries, pleasure. Thank you, Rita.
Rita Ehrlich was speaking with Adam De Silva on home cooking during a pandemic.